Next time you head to the kitchen for something to eat, stop and look at what you've chosen. Any idea where it came from? For a lot of us, the answer is no. Food has become something like a black box industry. We go to the store and buy it without much knowledge of where it came from. And the desire to increase that knowledge is one of the driving forces in the Eat Local movement. The less distance your food travels, in theory, the better for you, local farmers, and the planet. Some obstacles remain, obstacles the organization Thrive is working to breach with the help of Access as well. Thrive stands for the Rogue Initiative for a Vital Economy. Access is the community action agency in Jackson County. From Thrive, we have Elise Higley, a market development specialist. Elise, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thank you.
And Michelle Price from Access is here as well. She's a food skills educator. Welcome to you, Michelle.
Good morning. Thank you.
So tell us, I got to notice there are a couple of recent reports on local food, one of which is the Rogue Valley Grower Economic Assessment Report. The other is the Jackson County Community Food Assessment. These both, I think, probably give you some tools to understand a little better where things stand, wouldn't they, Elise?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, what we really learned from that and where the work that I'm doing stems from is that people really wanted to see local, they wanted to support local farmers, they wanted to buy local food, but they wanted to see it in stores that they already shop at. They weren't always able to go to the farmer's market. So that's the project that I'm working on, is getting that food into stores that people are already shopping at.
Interesting. So at this point, to get local food on the table often does require an additional stop other than just going to the, you know, your name brand here grocery store.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And Michelle, tell us about some of the things that you do on a regular basis.
Well, my focus is really to bridge the gap that exists in cooking skills education. There's a lot of great-looking local produce out there, basic whole foods, but people don't seem to know how to prepare them from scratch anymore. So my job is actually to train volunteers. We have a volunteer force of about 60 cooking skills educators at Access that give cooking demonstrations in the public, just teaching people how to cook from scratch.
What's the most common thing that you show people how to prepare?
Mainly fresh produce, and we do a lot with beans as well.
So, I mean, is there one particular kind of produce that you get more recipes for, or have more focus on than any other?
Well, it depends on the season, because we are focused on what is seasonally available here locally. Right now, it's winter squash.
All right, winter squash right now. Mm-hmm. And then earlier in the fall, it would have been?
Oh, we've had carrots. We did a lot with tomatoes in the summer, and zucchini, and all those good fresh vegetables that you find at the farmer's markets.
Sorry, I'm giggling because I can imagine the zucchini recipe book being a very, very thick one. Everybody seems to have zucchini in the summertime.
We focus on ways to prepare foods that are very simple and delicious. So rather than getting caught up in the nutrition aspect, as many people do, we just focus on, hey, try this. It tastes good. It's easy. You can make this at home.
All right. So you're about making the local food palatable and mm-hmm. enjoyable and obvious. And then, Elise, you're about trying to make the connections here. What's often the obstacle between local farmers and the grocery stores that people do tend to shop at more often?
Kind of our biggest obstacle this year, so this was the pilot year of this program, and the biggest obstacle this year was actually making sure that farmers were growing enough that could supply the grocery stores, and making sure that they were actually growing what the grocery stores wanted. So, for instance, we're working with 23 local farmers in Jackson and Josephine County, and we have created this Rogue Valley Grown kind of branding. It's open source. So we created these twist ties that say Rogue Valley Grown now, so it's very transparent in the grocery store and where food is coming from, because the word local is just so widely used. It can be anywhere from really the valley, or it could be 200 miles, it could be 500 miles. So this way, when things are tagged with Rogue Valley Grown, you know it's from Jackson or Josephine County. So we got that part taken care of. And then it was buyers wanting to actually support the local farmers, and we really have a lot of enthusiasm for that, and customers say they want it. And then it was getting the farmers to sell what actually the buyers wanted. So this year, we came really short with certain products. For instance, garlic. You know, here we have a choice of, consumers had a choice of garlic being grown in China, or they had an option of Ashland. And everybody chose the Ashland, it sold out, and then we didn't have any more that people were willing to sell at a wholesale price. And so this year we're going to be doing a lot of planning for that. So we're doing cooperative planting, or planning and planting, with farmers and buyers, and talking with buyers currently in different stores to say, how much did you buy last year of garlic? Because the farmers are now going to plant this much, and are you committed to buying that much from them? So this year I think we're going to see some really positive changes.
Which makes it sound like this is a daunting sort of proposition, because there's so many different variables and so many moving parts. You know, trying to get this person to agree, that person to agree to deliver that, and so forth. I mean, this. This sounds like it could take up a really big spreadsheet.
Elise is a force. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody wants to make it work. So that's what makes it, you know, fun and doable. And it just takes, you know, communication and understanding both sides of the coin. And so looking at what the grocery stores need, how can the farmers provide that? Are the customers really going to, you know, walk their talk and look for this Rogue Valley grown produce, which is then supporting the grocery stores because they are making the effort to support the farmers.
And you said this was the first year of the Rogue Valley Grown program?
This was the first, yeah.
And based on what the projections were for successes, whatever metrics you might have set up, I mean, how did it do compared to those?
Well, I think we all knew it was going to be a big learning curve, and it certainly was. You know, most of this year was just investigating and seeing where the obstacles were and then how can we find solutions. And so this year, you know, next week, actually, we're getting together with OSU Extension, and we're taking a group of farmers up to the Willamette Valley, and we're going to be looking at other farms that are selling wholesale and looking at profitability. So really, we're here to support the farmers, and we want it to be profitable for them, and we're here to make sure, you know, support the buyers and make sure the groceries, the produce is in there the way it needs to look, it lasts how long it needs to last, and there to support the consumers and ideas and ways that Michelle is working with in the demos for actually cooking it and making it easy in the kitchen and getting them excited about actually buying it.
Elise Higley and Michelle Price are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about getting local food on more local tables, hopefully through local stores as well in the Rogue Valley is where they're based. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org or check us out on Facebook. So Elise, does it break some ice with people? It's like, oh, really? This is, you know, I don't usually like to cook produce, blah, 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 mm-hmm. but it comes from the Rogue Valley. Does it provide any particular incentive or spur to the consumer to know that something comes from closer in?
I really think it does. For instance, at Food for Less, which is one of the places that we are offering a Rogue Valley grown produce focused demos, when people walk by and we've got a couple of people there that are cooking something that was grown right here in the Rogue Valley, they can smell those great smells and they can taste it and take home a recipe. They, at the same time, have the opportunity to purchase that particular produce item, whether it's carrots or fingerling potatoes or butternut squash. They can purchase it right there next to that demonstration that's happening. And to them, it's a very visual way for them to support our local farmers. They're excited about it. We get positive, really positive comments from people that sample it and are just so thankful that the local produce is there in the store where they're already shopping, like Elise said earlier, and it makes it easier for them.
The Rogue Valley Grown thing you mentioned was a pilot project. So, I mean, it'll continue again next year and be bigger, I'm
yes.
thinking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got enough. And was it a trick to get some of the stores to go along with this, to include this?
No, I mean, the stores are very supportive of buying local produce and supporting their farmers. It's been a bit of a, you know, challenge to deal with the labeling side of things, like signage. You know, some stores are used to putting local on everything, and then we're saying, can you go one step further and ask this to be, you know, labeled as Rogue Valley grown, because local is so different from store to store. And so some of that has been challenging, and we're working with that. And I think, you know, by this next season, I mean, obviously you're seeing a decline with the weather getting colder and, you know, farms are, we're all trying to tie everything up. So I'm a farmer myself, so that really helps with the communication with farms and farmers. And then obviously I'm in stores and eating, so, you know, that helps too. So
you mentioned garlic, which I don't think a lot of people associate with the Rogue Valley. They think in terms of certainly on fruits, you know, mm-hmm. we start with the pears and kind of move on from mm-hmm. there. But is this a fairly new venture to the region? Is this just a greenhouse thing? Or
No. Mm. Actually, we're one of the major garlic seed providers in the area. And so there are a lot of farms growing garlic and garlic seed So it's a very viable crop here.
Within the stores, was the Rogue Valley grown stuff just sort of a display in addition to other things? I mean, did the things that were grown in the Rogue Valley in some cases supplant things that were not grown in the Rogue Valley, or did it just sort of have to stand off to the side as like, well, there's this too and it's local?
We had both options. Ray's Market chose to have a Rogue Valley grown section, so they had then they also had. And the other thing to note, too, is Rogue Valley is not necessarily organic or, conventional. It can be either one, as long as it's grown here. And we really try and have farmer bios up and information so that they're connected with the farmer and they know their growing practices and people feel comfortable with them. So some stores like Ray's Market had a separate section, Rogue Valley grown. And this next year, they're choosing to just have their entire organic section be Rogue Valley grown. And that'll be their primary focus in their four stores. And then they'll supplement where they need to. But we will be their primary first call.
So when you go into the organic section at Ray's Market next fall.
Well, in the spring.
Springtime,
even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the organic section will generally be stuff from the Rogue Valley then.
And currently now, in this next week, we actually have a meeting with them this afternoon. So, kale is still abundant here. So all the kale should be from Rogue Valley right now. And so all their organic kale. Yeah.
So this raises the question then of supply. I mean, you got demand obviously built up a bit here, but how are the farmers equipped to meet the demand and keep the supply coming?
So we did, like I talked about with OSU Extension, we're working a lot on the education. We had post-harvest handling workshops. We've had just an Ag Squared workshop that helps on profitability and crop planning. And then we're doing this new profitability trip that's coming up. And there's actually a couple spots if anybody's interested, any farmer interested in wholesale farming. They should give us a call at Thrive or at OSU Extension.
That's the trip up to the Willamette Valley.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we are just working to find out what the need is, and then dividing that up in between all the growers that we have. And we actually have, our major growers right now in the valley export a lot because there isn't a huge communication and demand in the local stores. And so with this, really talking and getting, like you said, lots of Excel spreadsheets, how much are you buying currently? What did you buy Rogue Valley grown? How can we increase this? What do we need? What are the solutions? What problems do you foresee? So I think we can do it.
Are the big chain stores, and I'm talking about the super big ones, the national names, are they just not very well equipped to deal with local produce? Are they generally getting it through wholesalers? They have their people they deal with, and local farmers are generally not part of that?
Yeah, we're really fortunate. We have a local food distributor. It's Organic Produce Warehouse with Tom Marks. And he's been amazing this year. So he's acted as our distributor when we need that and given a very low markup for farmers. And so like with Ray's Market, who wanted to deal primarily with the distributor, OPW stepped in on that on behalf of the farmers. And so that's been really wonderful. So we have that option. And then we have the option to sell direct wholesale. But the bigger chain stores, we've just been focusing on, we have about 8 stores that we're focusing on right now to really work through these kinks. And like this year, so many things we learned for next year. And then once we get dialed in next year, we'll keep expanding.
What were some of the surprises that cropped up, things that you just hadn't even conceived of? Like, oh yeah, there's this to deal with.
Yeah, I guess part of, looking at availability, when you look at, seasonability and availability, it doesn't mean the farmer's planning to sell it at a wholesale price. And right. So that was, getting farms to be set up this year for selling more wholesale.
Which is actually a lower price than they'd get if they sold it directly retail?
Than the farmer's market, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they only grew enough for what they were going to sell at farmer's market and a little bit of wholesale. Then suddenly we had this big demand for wholesale and we didn't have enough produce ready for it. So this year we will be ready.
Wow. A lot of different things to consider up and down the food chain.
Especially since you're buying seed right now.
Right. We're talking to Elise Higley and Michelle Price about efforts to get people to buy and sell more local food in the Rogue Valley, the Rogue Valley Grown Project with Thrive and Access involved. Join us on the exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Check us out on Facebook and you can see a picture of Michelle and Elise from just a few moments ago. Couple questions here about differences in taste and in price. So let me go with price and Elise first. I mean, is there a big difference or at least a noticeable difference between the prices that people would pay for Rogue Valley grown versus from wherever in the world?
No, there's not a big difference other than if somebody has like a dump off of like a second, somebody refused an order and some store got in onions and they're selling them for like 29 cents a pound or something, you know, a wild sale. Or cucumbers in the midst of the season and they're, you know, someone's just dumping a load. But we're being very competitive with our pricing. But at the same time, buyers are realizing, you know, they need to be fair with the pricing too, with the farmers. But I don't really, there wasn't any difference in the pricing when we came in to increase the Rogue Valley Grown produce.
Okay, and let's talk to Michelle now about the taste part of things, because particularly with things like tomatoes, which I was made aware of through discussions like this over the last couple of years, the tomatoes we tend to buy in the store are grown because they travel well,
right?
Not necessarily for right. taste. So in cases like this, do you do any side-by-side demonstrations of locally sourced food next to non-locally sourced food and ask people to be able to tell the difference?
Well, most people already know how the non-locally sourced food tastes. That's what they're used to buying. So, for instance, when we went into a grocery store and did an Asian-style cucumber salad recipe, we also offered people the chance to just taste a cucumber spear, just plain cucumber spear. And, you know, people were really surprised. Not everyone has a garden, so they don't realize that there is such a big disparity in flavors between what they're used to getting at the grocery store and what is available right here in the Rogue Valley. So that was a real eye-opener to many people. And, for instance, the cucumbers, they sold out. All the local cucumbers at the end of the demonstration, which lasted under 2 hours, they were gone. The flavor speaks for itself.
Right. Let's take a call. We have Judy and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Price and Elise Higley.
Thank you. This is right down my alley. I love this kind of show. up here in Grants Pass, my question is, I, of course, use our wonderful farmers market every Saturday, but they're closed now. Do you do anything with gooseberries or the farmers market up here in Fruitdale area? Any demos, or are they... Have you sold to them from local people? Do they identify the local produce?
I'll answer that question. This is Elise. So one, I just wanted to mention that Farmers Market continues. it'll be in the Jackson, Josephine County Fairgrounds twice a month. It starts December 6th. So hopefully you will visit all of us there. And I'm sure the hours is every other week. So,
in which building?
In the
fairgrounds. Is it the flower arranging building, maybe?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But we are working with Grants Pass Farmers Market store. And we are doing demos. Actually, I have a demo scheduled this week, so I'm waiting for them to call back and confirm. But we have been there throughout the season, and working with Grants Pass as well, and hoping that gooseberries will take us on too.
How many different kinds of products are there when you look at the whole list of things that you're offering through Rogue Valley Grown?
Oh man, there were about, I think, 38, maybe more. Yeah, crops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we tried to kind of narrow it down for the buyers. And I just also wanted to mention and just give thanks to Shop and Cart in Ashland here, who has been great. The Ashland Co-op, of course, the Medford Co-op. I mentioned the Ray's markets that are really taking that on in 4 different of their stores and wanting to increase it next year to 8 of their stores. And then we've got Grants Pass Farmers Market and Food for Less.
Right.
Yeah. That's all been doing the demos, and they're all really putting Rogue Valley Grown produce at their first choice.
Mm-hmm. Was there much of a marketing campaign that went with this? Anything from outside the stores, or was it just in-store stuff, point-of-sale display?
Well, we've been doing some news, press release, and then we've been doing some educational things outside, you know.
But not like an advertising campaign or something
like
that?
No, not yet.
Okay.
We're waiting until we get it dialed in. So when you go in, everything's looking really
right,
good.
Right.
Yeah.
So how much tweaking went on just for the signs in the stores? Because I do the grocery shopping, and I don't honestly remember seeing them. And I do shop at Shop and Cart National, among other places. And,
yeah. So you'll see the twist ties, but Jerry hasn't made the sign switch over yet. So maybe he will when he hears this.
Okay.
You can ask him.
But it must be tricky to try to stand out at a place that's so full of colors and shapes anyway. You know, I'm reaching for my peppers. Reaching for my broccoli, whatever, but trying to find a way to stand out and say, hey, look, you know, this is Rogue Valley Grown.
And so that's getting the consumer just dialed in, like, hey, when you grab that produce, look on that label and see if it's Rogue Valley Grown. And if it has a twist tie, it makes it even easier because it's pretty apparent. But then you also have to get the farmers to use the twist ties, so. It's all those little challenges.
How much market research goes into all of this in the Rogue Valley Grown project to figure out, I mean, obviously you got farmers willing to do this, willing to crank out some stuff, get it sold locally. Are you getting much information about who your consumers are, where they are, that sort of thing? I mean, I know you're aware of the fact that the farmers markets indicate a second stop that a lot of people don't still want to make.
Well, and I think maybe they just don't have the ability to make it. Their schedules, you know, I think a lot of people do want to go to farmers market, mm-hmm. but it's just not, the schedule doesn't fit in. But we, you know, we look at where other groups have tried to do this, food hubs, and where they failed and where they succeeded. So we're really working on that. And then we're looking at the food assessment, you know, saying with all this work that they've done, you know, in 2013 of where they want to see their food, and it's at their grocery store they already shop at. So, I mean, the food's pretty easy because everybody eats. So it's just really educating people on the difference that it makes when they choose produce that's grown in the Rogue Valley. They're really supporting their local economy.
Michelle, is that still a constant struggle, though, to get people to accept the idea of produce as part of their daily food intake? Because, you know, you want to go to the store and grab the stuff in the boxes and bags, right?
Well, yes and no. There certainly are many people that are just used to picking up whatever's packaged and quick and easy. But I think there are a lot of people that are really interested in improving their health. They may have had a diagnosis from a doctor that said they need to make some changes in their diet. And so we're here to make those choices easy and to make them taste good. And Elise has been great about providing me with a list of what's available that's grown locally. So as I develop recipes for cooking demonstrations, the produce that we're using is grown right here in the Rogue Valley.
All right, so can people contact Access if they're interested in getting some benefits of the food education program?
They sure can. We are educating volunteers all the time.
All right, so that's for Access. And farmers can contact Thrive as well to find out more about that.
And volunteers also can connect them,
Okay, all kinds of great stuff going on to try to get local food to local tables through local stores. Elise Higley's with Thrive. Michelle Price is from Access. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
You bet.